You know, wouldn't it be nice if it was that simple? This is Trinity Sunday, an easy explanation of the Trinity. Yeah, right. People have been trying to do that for years and years and years. And if you'd flip to the next thing, I'll get started here. I'm going to leave this here. There we go. Thank you. Sunday, June 11th. It's kind of a nice day. It's my granddaughter's birthday. It's beautiful outdoors, and it's a day where we try to understand this complex thing of the Trinity, where we say that God the Father is God, and God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. And you understand that. It's very simple. Yeah, right. It is so complicated that theologians for years have been going over and over it again. Reminds me of this story about this little girl who was drawing a picture, and she's busy coloring, and she's using every color in her crayon box. And her mother says, what are you drawing? And she says, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the mother looked at the little girl and said, honey, she said, nobody knows what God looks like. And she said, well, they will when I'm finished. What do we believe? We believe in a lot of things in this church. We believe basically that God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. We believe that the Holy Spirit is here, dwelling with us. We believe in so many things. The ancient hymn that we sang, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, is what we believe. The very first Lutheran article states, the Lutheran article of religion states, there is but one living and true God, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in the unity of this Godhead, there are three persons, one substance, power, eternity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, end quote. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We use this word Trinity to even define who we are as a people. We say if you are Trinitarian, you are a Christian. And if you are not Trinitarian, then you are not a Christian. And yet we use this term, and yet the specific word Trinity is not in the Bible. Wrong button. This is my first time with the button, so be patient with me. The word Trinity, if you looked in the Bible, you will not find it. It's not there. By the way, the word Bible is not in the Bible. Neither is the word omniscient, which means God is everywhere. Or an omnipotent, which means God is all-powerful. An omnipresent, which means God is everywhere. Those are great words that we use to describe the very essence of God, and yet they're not in the Bible. Some people say that because the word is not in the Bible, therefore we can't use it. And of course, we have to say that's not true. It is an absolute invalid argument. Another argument people use is that we say the word submission, where God, the Father, and God the Son is submissive to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is submissive to the Son. And therefore, because there are subordinates in the Holy Trinity, they cannot be so. It can't be because God is supposed to be equal. There is only one God, and yet we call it three persons, co-equal, co-eternal. There are three divine persons that are listed in the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says in that God the Father is the first and foremost. God the Son is the second, and God the Holy Spirit is the third. That's what we say in our theology. God the Father is not begotten. John 3:16 points that out. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. John 15 points that out. The Father sent the Son. John 4:10. And the Father sends the Holy Spirit along with Jesus in John 14 and 15. We see how the Father then creates in Isaiah. The Son redeems in Galatians. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies in Romans. The subordination of order does not mean that each of the members are not equal or divine. For example, we see the Father sent the Son, but this action does not mean that the Son is not equal to the Father. In essence, they are divine nature, the same. It's sort of like at our house, if my wife sends me to the store, that doesn't mean that she and I are not equal in our relationship. It means she wants something from the store, like a loaf of bread, and I go get it. That means that I listen and we work together. That's the way it is with God. We see, we need to learn to work together. Being sent does not negate the sameness or the essence. The servants are not necessarily not equal to the server. So we have to remember that we need to understand this tritheism to understand that God is subordinate to each other only because they are equal to each other and they get the job done. What they need is what happens. St. Augustine, one of the greatest and earliest theologians, said, "Anyone who denies the Trinity is in danger of losing their salvation." And then he goes on to say, "And anyone who tries to understand it is in danger of losing their minds." The truth is, there's a great mystery concerning the triunity of God. It's a great mystery. And it took the church nearly 300 years to come up with the Nicene Creed and another 200 years to develop that creed which we will say today, the Athanasian Creed. Most pastors would prefer to preach on any other subject than the Trinity because it's confusing. How can you have three but only one? And there be one, but it's really three. Perhaps we need to take the advice that Brother Ehrlich, a 12th century monk, took. After a badly botched sermon on the Holy Trinity, he took a vow of silence for the rest of his life. While comprehension may elude us, we see that there is, in fact, some ways that maybe we can understand, but we got to ask ourselves this question: so what? Who cares? Does it matter anyway? And the answer is, absolutely, it matters. God cares. God knows that the foundation of our faith is built on the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. The sense of the Trinity is implicit to the God-believing church, and it is clear that God is one substance and three in person. And the Word of God is absolutely emphatic about God being one throughout all of the Scripture. The Jews have this term they call the Shema, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Deuteronomy 6:4. Judaism and Christianity are both thoroughly committed to the belief in one God and one God alone. And that sets us apart from most of the religions in the world. The first commandment God gave to Moses was, "You shall have no other gods before me." That's in Exodus 20, verse 3. That does not mean before me as standing in front of me or anything that means ahead of me. God is not saying that he is the most important on their list. He is saying he is the only on their list. Before me literally means before my presence. You are not even to entertain other gods because there are no other gods. Yet with that one God, within that one supreme being, there are three distinct persons. Is that clear? Yeah, right. Note that there's only one image, and yet there are the likenesses, single in form. Let's look at a verse from the Bible where we see the plural being used. In Genesis 1:26, where God is beginning and he has made man, he is so pleased with creation, and now he is on his sixth day, and he said, "Let us make man in our image. Let us make them male and female." But if there's only one God, who is the us that's referred to in the Bible? Is the Bible lying? Is it a misprint? No, it's not. It is saying us clearly. There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together at creation. And they are there looking and seeing that God indeed is good. So what else do we find when we look through the Bible? If we look through the Bible, we find all kinds of incidences where God is God. He is the Father, referred to 747 times in the Bible as the Father, so it's an image that we can grasp onto. But there's also other images of God. There's the God that loved us so much that we couldn't understand this huge being, so he sent another form of himself to the earth. Jesus Christ became flesh and blood so that we can look at and understand what a man does and what a man is like. And God did that for us. And then he realized that as Jesus Christ left the earth, we need some more help. And believe me, we need help. And so he sent his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and, in fact, is there at all points in time. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all working together, even today. We call this mononistic God. And yet sometimes people think that we're polyistic people, where we have more than one God. But that's not true. Let me make it very clear. Remember the baptism of Jesus? Jesus Christ is standing in the river. And as he's standing there, a dove, the Holy Spirit, comes down from heaven. And another voice booms, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." Three, separate, distinct, yet what? Yet one. I hope I made it very clear that indeed God the Father is difficult to understand. The best schematic I've ever seen is this one. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. And yet they all are God. It's a mystery. It's difficult to understand. And yet it takes that faith to understand that our God is so big that indeed we love him. We are created in his image. We are desiring to be in fellowship with him, fellowship with each other, and most important of all, fellowship of the triune God. Beloved, we worship the one and only God, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen and amen. And perhaps I should say, one more. Amen.